Welcome to week two of the Joker and the Queen podcast. I'm Queen Brienne.
And I am Charlie, the Joker.
You're so strange. Anyways, you are so weird. I can't even stand it.
Hence the Joker.
Whatever. Anyways, wow. One whole week since last time we podcasted. It feels like it's been a month or so. We had 100 and how many views or listens?
It was something like 108 as of yesterday.
108 people. That's 108 more people than I thought would actually listen to our podcast.
It's been a lot of fun to actually track that daily and to kind of see where we're sitting at. And at one point, we were 8th place on the website host for... What's the category we're in?
Personal journal.
Personal journals.
See, now, so when you're tracking this and it says we've had 108... people listening, is that through that hosting service or and not even counting the people that are listening through the app and through the iTunes and so on, or how is it being tracked?
All of the traffic to the audio file that I upload is uploaded to that host, and every other program that uses that audio file uses its RSS feed.
So it's essentially a pretty comprehensive
That should give me everything. Their statistics should tell me everything coming from everywhere, like the app, because there's an app on the Google Play Store. It's available through Google Play Music separately, where you can just click subscribe. It's available through iTunes. It's available through Stitcher, which Stitcher may be different. If you listen on Stitcher, I might not know necessarily that you listened. Or you can go right to our website, and it's you can stream it right from the website.
So now if you were to go to the website, and would it prompt you then to say, like, I want to download the app on my iPhone, or I want to download the app on my Android, or are we not that technical?
There's a Listen Now option. If you click that link, it'll take you to a page where you can download the app, or you can download, or you can subscribe through all the subscription services.
Sweet. So we are pretty, I mean, 7 days in, pretty well set up, don't you think?
It still needs a lot of work.
Yeah?
I'm not happy with it.
But okay. Well, are you ever going to be happy with it?
We're getting there.
Isn't that like when an artist starts making a mural or something, and they're like, this is crap. It's just crap. And everybody else is looking at it like, dude, this is the Mona Lisa. Like, this is awesome.
And then the more you work on it, the more you mess it up.
Yeah.
And then it becomes garbage when you're done.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So the website's not garbage yet.
But I'm working on it. Well, I know that you are. You've been doing a lot of stuff with, like, business cards and whatnot. I feel like every time I turn around, you're working on something that you shouldn't be working on.
Like a pixelated version of your face?
Yeah. We'll see how that turns out. Check back on the website later on this week, because that'll probably be uploaded at some point in time.
Maybe.
Hopefully, with my approval, I get to approve the final. Right?
I was going to use that picture I described you. I described you as a picture the other day. Do you remember what that picture was? The girl from The Exorcist.
Excuse you?
I forget why.
Did you describe me to me, or was this somebody on the street that you were dialing?
I loaded up the animation, and I said, this is what your voice reminded me of. I don't know. You were yelling about something. Can't remember what.
You want to try to get me to do it again?
I don't know. It was funny, though. It was funny. I was like...
So it's like a funny yelling?
This is what you sound like.
Do you think I'm funny when I'm yelling at you?
Sometimes.
I feel like I remember what you were talking about, and I feel like I was joking around. Yeah, so just for the record,
it was all
funny.
A joke. Yeah, it was all a joke.
Anyways, so 108 people have listened. Whether or not they've listened straight through, we don't really know. They may have just queued it up and then...
2 minutes in, just sick of this.
Yeah, turned it off. So, and we haven't really... We've gotten, you know, a couple comments, private messages from people that have listened, people that we know, but we really would like some feedback. I know that Charlie set up a voicemail, so you can call us and leave us a message. And if you call and leave a message, you might be featured on the show. So that would be pretty cool. The number is 763-200-7766.
We both have it memorized. Nice.
Yeah, you only told me what it was once, though.
True. I have been practicing.
He got to pick it. He wanted to make sure that everybody knew that he got to pick the super cool phone number.
Yeah, it's not a bad number, and it's local to us, so...
And it rings right into our our cell phones, so we won't answer. It just goes right to a voicemail.
If I was to turn off Do Not Disturb, though, technically I could answer it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would.
You've gotten a lot of phone calls, though, from people that are trying to promote our website, which...
Yeah, which I should change that number to this number, because I... In order to register a website, you have to give them your name, your address, and that all becomes public record. There's a Whois lookup tool. You can look up any domain name, and it'll tell you the name of the person, their address, their phone number, all that kind of stuff. So when you look up that information for our website, my name, address, and phone number comes up.
I feel like I don't really want anybody's knowing our address.
I didn't pay for the extra service to hide all that information.
Well, maybe we should be paying for that.
Maybe we could pay for that.
Yeah.
But that's an option. But so my phone number's out there, though. I'm sure I'm going to get bombarded with things in the mail, too. People trying to get me to switch my service to them and all that fun stuff.
That's fine, because the kids like to go out and get the mail, so that'd be fun for them.
The more mail, the more excited they are.
The longer that they'll be out there, and that just works for me. On that note, gosh, what have we done this week? We went to the fair, the Wright County Fair, which is really fun. It was a heck of a drive.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. The kids got to go on a pony ride, which is like the highlight of their lives, essentially. Yeah. All they talk about is the fact that we are for sure going to buy a farm and a pony, and we're going to have chickens and pigs. And
yeah, pig. A pig was talked about.
It was.
While we were there.
It was me. I mentioned that I'd like a pig.
As a pet or for bacon?
Both.
As a pet till it gets to a certain size, then bacon?
Yes. Isn't that what they were going to do with Babe?
As we're eating the pig, we'll be like, or as we're eating the bacon, we'll be like, this was Babe.
Yeah, exactly.
Delicious. Good job, buddy.
We could probably get a little bit more creative with the name.
True.
What else did we do this week? It feels like the last 7 days have been a month.
Yeah. We had an adventure at Applebee's.
Oh, we did. We did have it. So, I guess we're going to need some backstory in order to tell this story. So, maybe you should start with your backstory. I can preface it by saying that, okay, so Charlie was married for 16 years. He is legally still married as of now. His divorce has not been finalized. And the reason for that is because...
There's been all kinds of fighting over, not necessarily custody battles.
I mean, I guess that's part of it.
But it's been, it's not a matter of both sides fighting for the same thing.
It's more so a difference in opinion of parenting and how, what they are willing to allow their children to be, exposed to, I think, is the nice way to put it. I mean, obviously, we're not going to sit here and bash anybody. We're not going to sit here and speak ill of the mother of your children. So that's not even going to happen. So we're going to figure out how to eloquently describe the last 7 months of our lives, our crazy lives. Basically, Mom decided to shack up with a guy that is bad news.
She met him on Craigslist personals.
Yep. And within 2 weeks, they were talking about moving in together, and they're madly in love with each other, which, I mean, good for her, if, you know, that's what she wants. The problem is that he is just not a very nice guy. He has a lot of issues. He likes to tell tall tales about his life and his story, and honesty is not his big thing.
Not at all.
And so for the last 3.5 months, the kids have been staying here full time because of this, and because it's just not a healthy relationship. Both kids have expressed their fears and told us stories that are just
terrifying.
Yeah. The kind of story that you think this doesn't happen to me, it happens to everybody else. Or not everybody else, but this isn't something that happens to me, it happens to other people.
So it's been a matter of us protecting the kids, doing everything we can in our power to keep them from getting exposed to what they already have been exposed to.
Trying to maintain a sense of normal despite all of this. But in doing so, there has been a lot of heartache on everybody's side for different reasons. Some of us not for the right reasons. The important people, of course, are the kids. And they've been devastated. Mom is planning to move out of town, out of the state, at the end of the week. And this has been an ongoing thing that was decided months ago. And it's now kind of coming into a reality here. And because of the fact that we had very little contact in the past, she decided that she wanted to sign over full custody to Dad because she just wasn't willing to fight for her kids. She wasn't willing to choose them.
And every time it comes to a point where we want to have schedule some kind of time with her to be with the kids, just one, her and the kids one-on-two, every time it comes to that, it falls back on him not being comfortable with her being there alone or her wanting to involve him in some fashion, where if it's a phone call or even at a doctor's appointment. We went to my son's doctor's appointment, and while she was there to her first appointment that we've had together since all of this started in general, which he's been to two different counselors, and she goes to this appointment, and one of the first things she does is shows my son a text message from the boyfriend right away. This is from him. This is what he wanted to say to you. And do you want to say anything back to him? And none of the conversation is about her. It's all about him.
Which is concerning, to say the least. So that is kind of backstory. And we'll get into, I'm sure, other components of this backstory as we go on. In other episodes or even maybe later on in this episode. But bottom line is, I, as a mother, and as the person that has been here full-time for the last 3.5 months, said, no, you will not walk away from your children. You will not be able to get off that easily. You will fight for your kids, and I'm not going to allow this. And Charlie has been right on board with that as well, of course. But it's impossible because it's basically, it's a war that only one side is willing to fight for.
And we keep getting hints that things are going to be different this time.
And we get our hopes up, but worse off, we get the kids' hopes up.
Yeah.
So this started out Monday, I guess, of this past week. So the day that we posted this podcast to begin with, this is when this started. And I challenged her to 7 days of not bringing up the past, not dwelling on what has happened, the hurt that has happened, and just to focus on her relationship with the kids before she moves out of state. And I promised her, of course, that it would be worth it, and it would allow her to be able to rebuild their relationship and to be able to have a basis to build upon when she moves. Because, I mean, not only is she moving, but she also says she wants to be involved in their lives as their mother, but then doesn't have a clear plan of how she's going to incorporate living 22 hours away and being mom.
One of the battles we went through was the legal custody portion of it, where she wants 50-50 legal custody, but she's not going to be around the kids. She's going to get maybe a phone call or two a day maximum.
And if you think about it, I mean, phone calls, the kids are on their best behavior. They're excited. They want to talk to their mom. It's new. It's fun to be on the phone. It's, what did you do today? And you talk about all the positive things, which obviously we're not all about dwelling on the negative things either. But how can we agree to And I say we, obviously, it really has little to do with me at the end of the day. But I say we because we're here together fighting this battle here. But how can you approve a med change for Kid Flash, who has ADHD, when you aren't here all the time seeing that the meds aren't working?
And I know even things like, really, any decision that's going to come to, like braces, like how is she going to know what's going on at the doctor's appointments? How is she going to know all the details where it's going to come to, right down to it, and it's going to be a matter of calling her, and then she's going to drag her feet every step of the way.
And him and how over it, and oh, I don't know, and I have to consult with my other half, and I don't know, I'll get back to you, and it's just, I just don't feel like it'll work. I mean, and maybe it has in the past with other people, but her personality is, she needs it to be about her, and not about the kids, so it's really not kid-centered. So the decision was made, printed up on paper, signed and filed, that sole custody would go to Charlie, both physical and legal. She agreed to that. It was originally going to be without contact. She was literally going to walk away. No contact, no phone calls, no nothing.
No looking back.
And that was her decision. The paperwork was written up. It was signed and notarized. And it was one of those things that's like, okay, we're going to give it to God and we're going to say, this is what she wants. We're going to write it up for her because she's pushing us to do it. We've fought it over it for 7 months. This is what she's decided, and we'll do it. And then he shows up at the courthouse, and they say, nope, sorry, wrong paperwork. And I'm all about signs. I mean, I really am. This is a sign that this isn't the right decision. So back to the drawing board we went, and on Monday I extended this olive branch to her because she will not talk to him. He's quote-unquote unreasonable. I'm evidently the reasonable one in this relationship.
It's a matter of the whole point to that is that I can't talk to her for more than like a minute on the phone, and I just lose my temper and I'm done.
Well, I have a hard time as well, but I am a little bit more patient.
I have no patience.
I think the difference is I can see it. I can see from her side, though I don't agree with her. I can see it. So she kind of dragged her feet about this olive branch that I wanted to extend to her. And she said, well, I don't know. I'm pregnant. I am moving. I don't know if it's a good idea. And I said, well, then fine. I tried, I guess, and kind of threw my hands up in the air like, you know, I'm not going to spend the time on something that's not going to pan out here. But the number one kind of, I don't want to say test, but the number one, oh gosh, what would be a good word for it? The number one, the doctor's appointment. It was a event, maybe?
Trial,
maybe, I don't know. But it was, Kid Flash had a doctor's appointment on Tuesday, and I said, I'm not going. It's just going to be Dad and Kid Flash, and I will prep you for it so that you're well prepared. And so you don't go into it feeling like you haven't been around for 3.5 months. And I want you to go to this and be mom. Put your mom hat on and be mom. Because we've had a lot of issue with the fact that whenever she does end up seeing them, that it's fun time mom. It's, I'm going to buy you something to kind of quell my guilt, and I'm going to take you somewhere really, really fun, and which, I mean, is great and everything, but at the same time, you know, you have to, if you want to be a mom, you got to act like a mom.
Yeah, like, let's meet at the park, let's meet at the beach, let's do this or that. Only fun events.
Right, and so she did go to the appointment, and you were there, so you should probably...
Well, she went to the appointment. That was kind of what I was saying earlier, was that one of the first things she did was immediately start text messaging the boyfriend. He had sent a message to her for him, for Kid Flash, and then he was kind of, she was, what do you want to say back to him? Like, it was all about, it wasn't about her seeing him and hugging him. It was about him. And then they had scheduled the appointment incorrectly, and they had left a half hour for paperwork because we were new, but I'd already been there once. So we ended up sitting in the waiting room for a half hour. Well, she was 10 minutes late. So we sat in the waiting room for 20 minutes before the appointment started. Basically just the three of us, which was rather awkward. And then they finally called us in. It basically was like an initial, like new patient sort of appointment where they try to get your backstory and try to get family information and medical information and just a lot of that. So I guess for some of that it was good that she was there because she was able to give some of her family history that I wasn't completely sure on. But we did spend a little bit of time in there arguing about some of the facts that really didn't matter, where they matter a little bit enough that it's probably a good idea for the doctor to know, but some of it was a little over the top and one-sided.
Well, as it will be with any divorce, I think. But overall, I think the appointment went good. It allowed her to see what's going on with him, what we're dealing with, and was it good for her to go to it before she left so that she can be involved. She can picture the doctor's office in her mind and kind of picture the doctor and so on and see, you know, if she does want to be involved, kind of understand what she's involved in.
And the doctor also said that she has the option to, after an appointment, the doctor would be willing to call her and give her updates. Like a quick 10-minute call just to say, this is what we talked about, this is where our concerns are, that sort of thing. So that was an option that was left open, should she choose to. She didn't seem interested, but should she choose to do that, it's open.
So that was Tuesday. On Wednesday, we were shampooing carpets, and which I feel like we do all the time around here, but we have animals and kids. So we're shampooing carpets. She wanted to meet to file the divorce paperwork, but she was all the way down in the cities. And she wasn't going to make it back in time for the paperwork to get signed, notarized, made copies at Office Max, and then driven to
file them at the courthouse.
Yes. And so we invited her over after she had a little bit of a meltdown over completely unrelated things. More so, I mean, she got on the phone with me and it was just more like a vent. I need to vent this out to somebody. Somebody needs to listen to me about all these things that I'm upset about, which I was happy to do. And then in the midst of her sobbing hysterically, venting rant, I brought the phone downstairs to Princess, and I said, hey, Princess, your mom's on the phone, wants to talk to you. And then put her on speaker, and which cheered her up immediately, and then we invited her over to play at the park with the kids. We were shampooing carpets. We said, we're in the living room, we're right here by the big picture window. Come on over, play with the kids at the park, we'll give you your privacy, we'll be right across the way. And she said, well, can my boyfriend come? And I kind of gave in to her and I said, yeah, fine, whatever. Just come see your kids. We'll be right here. So we'll, we checked with the kids, of course, to make sure that was okay. And it was, at that point in time, they wanted to try again, see how they felt. It had been 3.5 months basically since they spent any kind of time with him at all. And,
well, you kept telling me you can't control who she's going to be with. You can only control the environment,
right,
that it's happening.
Well, not only that, you can't control, I kept saying, you can't control the person that she decides to spend her life with, and you can't control the kind of parent she is. You can only control the environment and the situations that you put your children in. And so, since it was a relatively controlled situation, I think that was why that decision was made. But not before sitting those kids down and telling them
the ground rules.
and I don't know if there were even really rules. It was more so that we are going to support any decision that you make. You need to listen to your gut. And don't allow anybody to step over your boundaries. That it's, you know, you sit down a 7 and a 10-year-old and talk about boundaries, and who even knows what real boundaries are? I have a hard time with boundaries. So, you know, trying to explain to them, this is okay. It's okay for you not to try to please everybody with your words and your actions. It's difficult. We did have a long conversation about the fact that Princess is 10 years old, yes, but she should never, ever, ever, ever feel like she has to do something. It's her body. If she doesn't want to give a hug, she doesn't have to give a hug. If she doesn't want to be touched, she doesn't have to be touched. There's nothing that obligates her to do that, and we will stand behind her 150%.
We're fortunate, too, in the fact that where the park is situated, it's literally right across the road, so the kids can be there. And if for some reason they feel uncomfortable, they can just run across the road and come into the house, and they're safe. And then the other side of that is that we have a no trespass order against her for the property. So she basically, as soon as they cross that road, she technically can't follow them.
Which is good. And they know that. And they know that our home is our sanctuary. And that's where we're safe. And, you know, you shouldn't have to say those things to your kids where, you know, if you're scared, run home. Because just there, it's giving you, it's red flags. Like, if you're having to say these things to your children,
yeah,
it's, you know, you're supposed to talk about stranger danger, not mom danger or mom's boyfriend danger. But we, and the, like he said, the park is so close. I mean, we can literally open the front window and hear basically what they're talking about anyway. So that's how close it is. And we didn't, neither of us left that room at the same time. We made our presence known. Charlie went out in the garage a couple times for various things. He was loud about it. So we sent them over there, and they played, maybe it was 15 minutes. And then Princess came running back over, and she said, "I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to go over there. What do I do? What do I say?" And I said, "Well, it's up to you. What do you think that you want to say?" And she said, "I don't know. I don't want to tell Mom because I don't want to hurt her." And I said, "Okay. Let's tell her that you have a sick stomach and that you don't want to go over there right now." And so we did. And she took a bath because she just wanted to kind of chill out. She was panicking.
Relax.
I lit candles for her and did a bubble bath, and she got in the tub. Kid Flash stayed over there and played, as he does, because he will play with anybody anywhere, anytime, no matter who it is. And a while later, Mom messaged me and said, "Can you send Princess outside? We want to take a picture of the four of us before we leave." And I said, "You know, she's not really feeling very well, so she wants you to come in and give a hug and kiss goodbye." So we gave her permission to come into our home, despite the don't trespass order. And she went into the bathroom and talked to her for a few minutes, and I guess did end up talking to her about the fact that she was very uncomfortable. And Princess was honest for the most part. And then in the weirdest turn of events, instead of saying, "Okay, I understand that you're uncomfortable, I'm going to make sure that you are comfortable from now on," she said, "Okay, well, let me have boyfriend come up to the door so that he can see your cat and give you a hug, and he won't come in." Like, that was her compromise for her uncomfortableness.
Still, and again, making it all about him.
All about him. So, super frustrating. So, that was Wednesday. Thursday, I made a point to, I was in the neighborhood, and Charlie and his soon-to-be ex-wife, they were doing the whole sign, notarize, file the divorce paperwork in a town close to ours, and I made a point to drive out of my way with the kids to meet him there because the kids wanted to say good morning to their mom. And we got to Office Max and let them walk around together while we did the copies. And they did that. And it was just her. She was alone, so it went very well. And that was all we really saw of her that day. I mean, it went very nicely. The kids were happy to see her. And then we went home and went on our merry way.
There was talk later in the day of her coming to the park again or something like that, but she had to work late or something, she had said, because she had taken time off in the morning to be able to do the paperwork.
Sure. But I think they did call and say goodnight.
Yeah.
Which is good, too, and that went well. So that was promising. And then the next day was Friday, and the day that we went to the fair. And while at the fair, I sent a picture to her of the kids on their ponies, and she messaged back and wanted to know what we were doing that evening, and I said I don't think we had any plans, and so she wanted to invite the kids to her home for dinner without me or Charlie. And her home is on her father's property in a...
From what I'm understanding, it's a larger pull-behind camper that is a temporary home.
Until they move out of state.
Yeah, until they can get into this apartment in whatever state they decide they're going to.
And this is, like, intriguing for these children because they're like, Mom camps 100% of the time. This is, like, the coolest thing ever. So, of course, they do want to go and see this camper.
They're excited. You get to shower outside?
Yeah, we can put your swimsuit on every day and shower outside like a sprinkler. So... They can't imagine it in their head, so they just want to see it. So I asked Princess what she thought, because I know she was uncomfortable a couple days before that, and she said no way. Or, well, actually, I take that back. She did say yes, and then she found out that we weren't going to be there with her, and then she said no, not going to happen. So I relayed that back after Princess made sure that I had written it out via text message in a way that she approved, to make sure that it was said eloquently and so that it would not hurt her mother's feelings. And then Mom came back and said, well, how about Applebee's then? You and Charlie sit at one table, me and the kids and boyfriend will sit at the other table. And the kids love Applebee's, so of course they said yeah to that. And we felt, okay, well, this is, again, a good, controlled visitation. You know, it's not the company that we would have wanted them to be in, but we do value the relationship that they have with their mother, and we really are trying. We went against our guts, I think, and had dinner at Applebee's that night, Friday night.
It seemed to start out like when we arrived, it seemed to be okay. I took every bit of control that I had and did everything I could to not look him in the eyes or make any kind of contact at all with him. The kids were excited to see Mom. We got in. She had already checked in for a table. They already had a table, I believe. So we got there. We checked ourselves in for our own table, and they kind of left and went and sat down right away. And we got our own seats, got seated. We were seated in a spot where we could kind of see a little bit of what's going on. It all seemed okay at that point. And then at some point through the meal, glancing up at them, we noticed that Princess was sitting by Mom, and then the next thing we knew, she had switched sides and she was sitting by the boyfriend. And that was a little bit of a concern, and we just kind of watched it to see how things were going, and probably again within a matter of 15 minutes.
Well, we had ordered right away because
we were in a hurry.
We were in a hurry, and we knew what we were getting. We get the same thing every time we go to Applebee's. So we had ordered right away.
We didn't want them to get their food and eat and then pay.
Yeah, and then think that they were going to leave.
Well, we were still in the loop, and we couldn't get away.
So I think we had our appetizer.
I don't think that they even had their food.
Right, but we had our appetizer first. And he was drinking. Which, did you know that, by the way? Did I tell you that he was drinking?
I didn't know until later.
In the time that it took for them, for this portion of our story, he had already downed two beers. Which is whatever. Two beers is two beers, you know? If it were me, two beers, I'd be passed out in bed. But for somebody that's used to drinking, that's probably not that big of a deal. But I do want to mention, and I don't think I mentioned this to you before, that's against his probation.
It is against his probation.
He's not supposed to be drinking at all, especially not in public. Anywho, so within a matter of 15 minutes, both kids got up from the table and came to our table. And Kid Flash was like super excited because he got a new shirt and he wanted to show us the shirt. And Princess came over as if she was going to show us her new dress that Mom had picked out for her, which she was really excited about. And then the first thing out of her mouth was, "I'm uncomfortable and I can't do it anymore."
And she had the look of panic, like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
what am I supposed to do?
And so, I mean, adrenaline just kicked in. It's like, I mean, for me, at least it was Mama Bear. Like, I know that I'm not her mama, but I was Mama Bear. I was like, we need to get her out of this situation. So we're talking to her and trying to calm her down. And, you know, we didn't jump to make a big, I mean, you could tell that in the back of our mind, it was a big deal. Red flags up. But we really did try to.
We were investigating. We were asking questions like what?
Positive questions, not expecting.
What's making you feel that way? Yep. What would make it better? What are you feeling right now? Those kind of generic
questions.
Kind of
saying, like, you know, we can talk to Mom and have you sit next to Mom if that would make you feel better and stuff like that. Well, then Mom comes up to see what the heck we're doing lingering at the table because I guess she had said that she had to go potty. And that was our thing, too, is we did prep her beforehand that if she gets uncomfortable, she can say, please excuse me, I need to go to the bathroom, or please excuse me, I'd like to go talk to Dad for a moment, and that it was fine for her to say those things. And so Mom swept her away to the bathroom. And
it got real uncomfortable at that point, where they actually all three of them had left.
Three of them, meaning Kid Flash, Princess, and Mom.
Yes, all three of them.
Leaving boyfriend at the table.
He's sitting at the table by himself. And we're kind of sitting at our table looking at each other like, what's happening? Like, what are they doing? What are they talking about? And I couldn't keep my eyes off that side exit door. Because I started to get paranoid that she was just going to come out the door and just...
I did think of that, too.
Walk out the door and take a walk into her car.
Well, and then I think we came up with a contingency plan at that point while they were in the bathroom. Because I kind of had this feeling that it's going to go one of two ways. Either she's going to come out and she's going to say, okay, it's good, we're good. Or she's going to come out and say, I need to get out of here. I need to escape. And we're waiting for our food. We didn't even have our food at this point. Or maybe we had just gotten it. I don't know. And so the plan was that if she came out and said, I don't want to be here anymore, I want to go, that, like, Charlie and I switched keys because I said, you take my sweet summer child, because my kids were with, too, my sweet summer child and Princess, and just get in my car, because that's where the baby's
car seat
is, and go home. And I will stay and wait for Kid Flash and finish my meal, and we'll pack your meal up, and everything will be fine. And then it was the look of panic on Charlie's face, like, no, I'm not leaving you here, too.
Yeah, but I was then, definitely paranoid at that point, because yeah. I know what's happened in the past.
Well, yeah.
And the boyfriend doesn't seem to have any apprehension to just blurt out whatever he has to say in front of a restaurant full of people or a courtroom full of people, for that matter.
Or use his hands in a way that is usually not very good in public.
Absolutely.
He assaulted me in the Target parking lot at one point in time. So, I mean, it felt like forever. I think at one point I even said, can I get up and go to the bathroom and just see what's going on in there?
Yeah, and it was that you asked that if you were going to go, and I said, let's just give it another minute, just in case. Let's see what happens, and then they came through the door. We had commented, too, that the direct path to their table was to go straight, and we had assumed that she was going to lead both kids straight so that they wouldn't stop at our table.
And then we were trying to figure out, well, how will we figure out if she's okay or if, you know, it was just impossible. At that point in time, I think it was regret. That was what we were feeling, was regret. We should not have done this.
Yeah.
This was stupid.
We ran over our heads.
We were in way over our heads. And we kind of, like, I don't think at that point we had told the waitress that something was up. But it was soon after. But so Mom left the bathroom with the kids.
Well, she left the bathroom with Kid Flash with her arm around Kid Flash and directed him right back to the table. And Princess kind of came out and immediately went the other way.
towards
us. She went out and around to come by our table, and she still had that panicked, uncomfortable,
doe-eyed, yeah, deer in the headlights, huge-eyed look. And it's that look that just breaks your heart, because you can see it on her face that she has no idea, like, that she's in over her head. That this position that she's been put in is a position that she should never have been put in. And so then we feel the worst guilt ever for a second, and then we need to figure out what we're going to do from this point on.
And immediately the first thing asked of her was, what do you want to do? And she said she wanted to go home.
So that's when we put our contingency plan into effect. I flagged out our waitress, got a box, boxed up Charlie's food, got the baby ready. He snatched her up with them, both of them up within 30 seconds and walked out that door.
Well, I did forget the baby.
You
did? I started to walk.
You did, like, and I said,
Charlie, you're forgetting something. I'm like, whoops.
So
I came back and grabbed him.
Yeah.
And then we made it to the door, like, to the person there who greets you as you come in. And
the host, yeah.
The host, hostess.
Hostess.
Said, you know, thanks for coming in. Have a great night. And right at that point, Mom was, like, right behind me. Like, where are you going? What's going on? What's happening? I don't understand. We just had a conversation in the bathroom. I don't understand what's going on. And I just simply said to her, she feels uncomfortable and doesn't want to be here anymore and wants to go home, so I'm taking her home.
I never did ask you what she said, but
I didn't pause. I didn't look at her. I the only reason I knew she was there is because I heard her behind me. And I just kind of turned my head a little bit, said what I had to say. We didn't even stop. We just continued to go out the door. And we really just hoped at that point, because she hadn't paid for her meal, that she wasn't going to just continue out or chase us out to the car, which she's done before.
Well, at the same time, he jumps up and he comes over to my table. And I'm like, oh, God, here it is. And he said, what's going on? And he says it in such a way that spit comes out of his mouth. And, like, not purposely, of course, but just, it was very disgusting. It went into my spinach artichoke dip, and that was
not what you wanted to happen with the spin dip.
The spin dip was tainted by the spit. But anywho, and I simply said the same thing, actually, is she's uncomfortable and she wants to go home. And I said, go ahead and have them add her meal to my tab, and I would be happy to pay for her meal. I'm very sorry. And I was very cordial. And he said, no, 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 that's okay, that's okay. And I said, no, really, I will pay for her meal. And he said, no, don't worry about it, I can handle it. Which I'm sure in hindsight, they actually probably took the meal off, because they didn't ever brought it to her. So they probably just took it out. And then he said, are you okay? Which I thought was kind of bizarre that he asked me if I was okay. And I said, yeah, I'm fine. And then he walked away. And he went back to the table. And then Mom met him back at the table, and then they were, and of course, Kid Flash is over there, and I'm like, oh, God, what's the conversation? And he's just happily chatting away and talking about whatever he's talking about and just being a kid. So that was nice for me to be able to see that he was good.
Playing with his kids' meal crayons.
Yes, but they were fighting, and you could tell that they were angry, and she was crying. He was angry. Because he gets I guess it's the rejection. He can't handle the rejection, which, I mean, who can? But he goes over the top about it all. And he just can't handle the fact that the kids feel uncomfortable. Yet he's the one making them feel uncomfortable. But I guess he just doesn't put two and two together. So they finished up their meal. I finished up my meal. I paid really quick so I could get out of there. And then I was like, are they going to take Kid Flash? Because actually I did panic after this, because one thing that we didn't realize is that custody thing isn't set in stone right now. So she could have taken him, because I'm not you.
And that, because of that reason right there, I didn't leave. We didn't go home. We left. We started to drive kind of that way blindly, just having a conversation, trying to talk it out in the car, asking her, what do you want to talk about this? How do you feel? Those kind of questions. And then
which you got nothing out of her.
I got a little bit, but not as much as she talked to you about later. And then I realized that, no, she didn't eat. She didn't get her dinner. So I pulled the car over because I wasn't even really thinking. I was just instinctively driving. I wasn't even paying attention to where I was going. So we pulled the car over and...
Well, and thankfully the baby had fallen asleep at this point.
Yeah, he had, like, 2 blocks away at the light. He was, like, completely out. So I turned around and was sitting at the stoplight, and I'm like, where do you want to go? And she's like, just take me to McDonald's. So we went back and went through the drive-thru, got McDonald's, and then I was like, do you really want to go home, or do you want to stick close just in case? And she was a little panicky about being close, but I explained it to her that we could be close where we could see what was going on, but not be seen. So we parked in a parking lot nearby, and basically the communication link we had was text messaging back and forth. And then it was like at one point messaging stopped and I had no idea what was going on. And then I panicked and we're sitting there waiting. Nothing's happening. I can kind of see my car because of its bright blue. I can see my car in the parking lot parked over there. And I was like, I'm going to move into a closer spot to see if we can see better. So I moved to the parking lot across the road where I could see everything, could see both cars, could see everything. And we're sitting there talking, and she was relaxed and calmed down quite a bit, and she was joking and laughing. And then I glanced up and saw that their car was sitting at the stoplight. And I was like, look the other way. And we both, like, turned our heads so they couldn't see our faces, which I don't know really what advantage that gave us. But bright blue car sitting in the middle of the parking lot.
You weren't in your car.
Oh, I was in your car.
Yeah, so...
So,
but I think that you thought, she knows my car, but no, you're in my car.
They probably recognize your car at this point, though, too. But we turned our heads, we kind of waited.
They were so oblivious, I think, at that point.
And I was trying to, out the corner of my eye, to see if they were fighting or what was going on, to see if I could see a third head in the back seat of the car. That was my paranoid moment at that point. No messages are coming through still. I don't know what's going on. And then... the car pulls around the corner and I see them leave. And then I look over and I see my car back out and I'm like, okay, well, at least I know that, you know, someone's safe over there. And then...
someone that can drive.
And then I kind of just sat there and waited. And she pulls in next to me and I glance over and I'm like, is he with you?
And I just kind of...
just pointed to the back seat, and yep. I'm like, oh, I can breathe now.
Yeah, and he was, and I had to go to the bathroom at this point, and I had to go over in the restaurant, but I was afraid that if I got up to go to the bathroom, then everybody was just going to leave. So I'm, like, waiting. So Princess and I actually went into the bathroom at this restaurant, and the moment that we walk into this... I mean, it was a one-stall bathroom. And the moment that we walk in, and I sit down and go to the bathroom, she is just... Jabba, everything that happened. Basically just spilled it all out. Like, this is what happened. I said, why didn't you tell your dad any of this stuff? Your dad's been asking for like an hour. What's going on? And she goes, I don't know. He's a boy. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? It's not boy-girl stuff, but that's fine. If she's more comfortable talking to me about it, then that's fine. And her big thing, too, was she was sad because mom, and this was not by any means, the reason that she was uncomfortable, but she was sad because mom didn't notice her pretty dress.
Yeah.
She didn't comment on her dress, which was, again, not why she was uncomfortable, but she was uncomfortable because, you know, she was made to feel like she didn't get her surprise unless she sat next to him. That was the thing. Like, you can't get your surprise unless you go sit next to him. And I mean, again, it was all about him. And just, she said that he just gives off this negative energy. And so, fine. I mean, does she need to have a reason why she's uncomfortable? No. I'm proud of her for following her gut.
And I told her that I was proud of her, too, for standing up for herself and being able to say the things that, like, to answer that tough question. Like, am I okay? Do I need to get out of here? And yep. She made the call. She made the right call.
Yeah. I mean, how many of us can really say that we've been in situations like that and made the right call? Like, how many of us have just... trudged through whatever the awkwardness is just to appease somebody else. I mean, at 26 years old, I do that all the time. I make rash decisions and say, yes, I'll do that for you or with you or whatever when I don't really want to do it. And then I end up regretting it later. And so I think that was huge of her to be able to stand up for herself. So if anything, you know, obviously that's not very favorable, but at the very least, her mom should be very proud of her for the young lady that she is becoming and the fact that she does march to the beat of her own drum. And hopefully she's going to continue to do that, because here we come into peer pressure and so on. Like, think of all the things that are coming up here in her life. Drugs, alcohol, sex, all these... Oh, I'm sorry. I had to say it. It's kind of come in the next couple years. And she's going to have to know. So this is a great foundation, of course, for her to be able to be saying no to these things. So that was Friday. And then Saturday, we really didn't hear from them too much, except for some text messages. And then Sunday, which is today, we had originally invited both of them to a dinner party that the kids were putting on for them. And this was a going away kind of thing. And it was something that the kids were super excited about. And, you know, it was a big for us to be able to invite them both into our home. Again, our home is our sanctuary. But then after everything that had happened during the week, Princess decided, no, you know what? I don't want him in our house.
That she absolutely did want mom, but she didn't
absolutely
want him.
Yes. And so mom had actually decided on Saturday that she wasn't going to come because he was no longer invited. He was upset about that. Sunday, today, she calls and talks to Princess for a little while, and Princess is like, Mom, you can come. I just don't want him there. I don't want him to come. I don't want him in our house. And so, and then she could hear the two of them fighting in the background and him saying, you're not going over there. It's not even going to happen. Don't even ask me. And then mom made this huge leap of faith and said, I'm coming. I will go. And of course, Princess is just on this, like, high after mom says, I'm coming. She is, we gotta go out and we gotta get the cake and we gotta get the ingredients for the food and we gotta get the balloons and the gift and all the things to do our toenails and stuff. Like, this is awesome. So we did. We got dressed and we went out and we went to the dollar store in Walmart and we bought stuff. And Charlie made me promise not to go crazy, of course, because we were afraid that she was going to change her mind.
I was leery right away. I said, I have a gut feeling that says it's not going to happen. So don't go crazy. Don't get hundreds of dollars worth of...
I went to that anyways. But I did buy the makings for lasagna, which he wanted anyways. So regardless of whether or not she was coming or not...
Win-win.
It would have been a win-win. We got one hanging decoration, 3 balloons from the dollar store, a gift for her, and some other little things. We got some stuff to do manicures. I told her to make sure that she came without nail polish on, so that they could soak their feet, and it was just going to be like a pamper time. And Charlie and I were going to be hands-off. This was the kids' thing. They could do it all, hang out in the bedroom, whatever. Charlie and I were going to hang out here in our recording studio and do whatever. We were going to eat in here at the table and just kind of leave them to do their own thing.
Give them their space.
Absolutely, and that was the plan. And she knew it. She knew that was the plan. But then she said, well, I don't know for sure if I'm coming or not. And so I made Princess promise me before we went to any stores that she would not get her hopes up. I said, you can be excited and you can be positive, but do not get your hopes up because it's possible that she may not come. And then I had a long conversation with mom about the fact that boyfriend called the crisis line right after he found out that she was going to this dinner party with her children. And that he is threatening to leave again, and that he is just being crazy about it. Which, I mean, can I kind of see it from his perspective with the past fighting and the fact that she's pregnant with his baby and so on? Yes. I can see it from his perspective. I don't agree with him at all, but I can see it. But I can't see how he is flying off the deep end there, because that's not me. I wouldn't have done that.
I can see it as a frustration.
Yes.
I can see it as a concern to voice it.
Yep, an annoyance.
But if it was your situation, I would feel like it's not my place to make that decision for you.
No, right. And I would expect that you wouldn't go off the deep end and tell me that you're going to kill yourself and think that you need to call the crisis line because I'm going to go have dinner with my children. For sure. So, basically my whole thing all day, and literally I'm telling you all day long, I invested my time via text message and via phone call to empower her to make a decision for herself, to not allow herself to be controlled, to choose her children. And you read my messages. They were very empowering, very positive, very tough questions, tough love kind of thing. Explaining to her that she has so many people that love her, that she can get on her feet again if she chooses to not be in this relationship, and that her children love her so dearly and unconditionally.
Even to the point that there's a significant number of old friends of hers and family of hers that no longer communicate with her because of him.
Yeah.
That any of those people, if she was to need that help, any of those people would do whatever they can to make sure she had somewhere to go or somewhere to stay or something if she needed to.
Well, we even said that we would extend our futon to her or the kids' room to her if she needed to, and obviously that would be a horribly awkward situation, and you've said, yeah, no, not so much, but if push came to shove and it meant between her living under a bridge for a couple days or her staying with us, I know that you would eventually acquiesce to
I would have to agree to it because at one point I needed someplace to go.
And you slept on the floor in the baby's room at my husband's house.
Yes.
With me.
Which was also very awkward and very uncomfortable.
Only when he was home.
Yeah, which wasn't very often, but...
Right. So, I mean...
It still was pretty awkward.
Yeah. So, long story short, she did not come to dinner. And the kids...
were devastated.
Devastated. And so then I offered up the, okay, well, why don't you come? Because they have balloons for you, and their balloons aren't going to keep. And they have a gift for you, and they're so excited. So why don't you just come tuck them in tonight, and they can give you your gift. And that'll take, 15 minutes, and he can drop you off and pick you up or something like that, 15 minutes. And she said no to that, too. But they are seeing their counselor in the morning, and they're going to talk about it with their counselor. Because he needs to see it from her perspective. Which I guess is nice that she's not just swearing it off. But it's just unhealthy for her and the baby.
It is.
And for her and her kid, these kids. Everybody's kids. This community kids that we have here. So, I mean, that's where we're at this point. I did not respond to her last message because I was disappointed and I was sad that the kids weren't going to get to see her. And you know, it's one of those things that it's like, okay, well, you're moving to Washington, but I'll come back and visit you. Or I'm moving to Washington, but I'll come back and visit you. If you can't even come to a dinner party, then how are you going to come back and visit?
Yeah, if you can't drive however many, like, 6 miles.
Yeah.
You can't drive the 6 miles to come see your kids now.
How are you going to come thousands of miles to see them?
Because the situation's going to be the same. It's not like we're going to turn around and say, he's not going to automatically be accepted by the kids.
Well, that's the thing. She would have come had he been... And that was the other thing, too, is she offered up a compromise to Princess, saying that...
they'll both come, and he'll stay... She'll come over for dinner, and he'll stay at the park across the road.
Well, it was that, and then there was another one, which was she'll come for the festivities, like the nail painting and so on, and then once it's dinner time, then he'll come in for dinner. And that in itself was like... And she said she would consider that, which I thought was cute. But at the same time, it's like, this is our sanctuary. Like, I'm not going to kick someone out because Princess is uncomfortable. I am not going to, in my home, my sanctuary, the place where I'm supposed to be the safest and the most relaxed, the place that I can lock out the scary people, and I do every night, well, Charlie does every night, locks those people out, locks all those doors, arms all those... the alarms, because I have horrible nightmares. Mom doesn't even want me living in this house because of all the shenanigans going on. But I'm not going to put myself in that position where I have to say, please put down your fork and leave the house because my kids are uncomfortable.
And based on the history, there would be a problem probably around that 15-minute mark.
And then he is not in public. And we know how he acts in public, so who the heck knows how he's going to act in behind closed doors. You keep looking at the time over there. Are you panicking because we reached an hour?
No, I'm just watching to make sure it's recording and watching the waveforms.
Oh. So, I don't know what's going to happen. They're leaving on Friday. And it's stressful, and it takes up, I mean, this has taken up our whole entire podcast episode, and it takes up our lives. I mean, really, this is what we've been doing all week, is dealing with this drama. And it is exhausting, and it takes a toll on everybody involved. And it gets to the point where it's kind of like, which is the lesser of two evils? Is her walking away going to be better for them than her
sticking around and leading them on?
Yeah.
Daily.
And hurting them. And the disappointment in their faces. I mean, I disappointed Princess today because I told her we were going to save cake for Mom. And we didn't make cake. And that pain on her face was not just because she didn't get to have cake. It was because her mom didn't come. She got so excited. And it's like, well, shame on us for getting her hopes up. But then what do we do? There's no rule book for this kind of thing. Moms aren't supposed to walk away from their babies. Dads aren't supposed to either, but that's more socially acceptable, quote unquote.
And it's hard to even find any resources and things like that. Oddly enough, I've, through the process of this, spoken to cousins of mine who had the same thing happen to them where their mom left. And eventually, as adults, I believe, or as older teens, came back and became a little bit involved, but not very much involved. So that kind of gave me a little bit of a place to reach out to someone for information. Potentially someone for the kids to talk to.
Well, yeah, and you think towards the future. I mean, what does the future look like? On the one hand, if she walks away completely, it looks like Mother's Day every year is sad. And it looks like prom and dances and heartbreaks. And, you know, we've already done the you're becoming a lady thing. And it was me and her. It wasn't a you and your mom thing. It hurt me. And it hurt you. And it hurts Princess. And it hurts everybody. It does break all of our hearts. And I know that it breaks her mom's heart too. Or does she get to stay in their lives? But then what's her role? Is she mom? Or is she friend? Or is she, what is she? Because how can you live 22 hours away and not, and still call yourself mom?
It almost falls back to the same role that her father is to her.
Yeah, but that they didn't even reconnect until after
she adulthood. Was an adult.
Yeah. I mean, we have 8 more years for one of them and 11 more years for the other of life growing up.
But she calls her father her friend.
Why? Well,
our friend. Like, do you want to go visit our friend? Is how she kind of refers to him. And that's, she's almost recreated everything that's happened in her life and brought that back to, like, pass that on to her kids where she's going to be the friend.
Well, and then, you know, it becomes a question of, well, then what is my role? And I think that's something that we've really been struggling with lately, for me at least, is like it's an identity crisis for me, is what is my role? What is my role when she's around? What is my role when she's not around? Where's the line? What am I? What am I to them?
I feel like when she is around, she isn't around, though.
It's true.
She's verbally around, but she's never physically around.
Yeah. Well, and I don't even think she's verbally around. I think she talks a good game, and she puts on a good show, and she says the things that she wants, but she never follows through with them.
And it's typically not even talking directly to the kids. It's talking to you or me.
Right. Yeah.
About the kids. And then when it actually comes time to actually have that moment with the kids, it never happens.
Well, because it's all about him. I mean, the only thing that we can really hope for is that he is going to be out of the picture. But now his child is within her, and who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, who knows if that's going to be a permanent thing or what's going to even happen with that.
But literally, I lose sleep over it. Every night, wondering. And then listening to them say, I want my mom. I wish I could talk to my mommy. I mean, they're kids. They're young, young children. As much as they want to make us believe that they're growing up, which they are, I see it every day, but they are... I mean, there's moments where you look at them and you realize, wow, they really are kids.
Well, even as an adult, I had spent a couple weeks without my kids, no contact. And in the midst of that, not able to reach out whenever I went to their house to try to see the kids or anything like that, the police were called. And then a completely bogus order of protection was filed against me to keep me away from the kids, basically. Even though the order had nothing to do with the kids, it was basically, she went into the courthouse and filled out paperwork and embellished a whole bunch of details to make me look bad. And because she is the female in this situation, they automatically approved it and then gave me the option to have a hearing to dispute it.
They didn't even give you an option to have the hearing right then, though. You had to go and file to get the option.
Yeah, I had to file. And then when I went in to file it, they said it was something like, it's like a $300 filing fee to dispute it. And at that point, I had to go through hoops to get that fee waived. Got the fee waived, got it submitted, went in and basically just proved to the judge that the only reason she created this order against me was to keep me away from the kids, because she did it 1 mile from her home, which was, the school was approximately 1 mile from her home.
0.8 miles, depending on who clocks it.
Yeah, depending on who clocks it, which I clocked it myself, and it was 1.1 miles. So, where I was actually going with this is that during the midst of that, I had spent probably about a week and a half at this point without the kids, without seeing the kids, without hearing from the kids, no calls, no phone calls, no nothing. And in the process of that, I had a breakdown myself, and the first person that I called was my mom.
Yeah.
Like, I can clearly remember sitting on the steps in the garage, like, in complete silence, the house was completely empty, just completely broken down, could barely talk. And mom was the person I needed, so...
Even after... How long were we in New York? A week?
Yeah, a week.
Even after the week that we were in New York, talking to my children every day, Skyping with them every single day, I still felt like part of my body was gone.
And to make matters worse, we had gotten into a car accident on our way to New York.
Yeah.
So we were already shooken up, and it was like the worst possible vacation.
Start.
Right up until the point we got there. And then once we got there, everything was okay.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. But it was just... I mean, it was worse, too, because the baby can't talk to me, and I can't kiss his cheeks and stuff over Skype, so that was horrible. But yeah, I mean, just as a parent, you, when your kids aren't there, you just feel ick. Like, I tell this to Charlie all the time, that there's nothing that could keep me from my kids. Not even him. As much as I like him, and as much as I deal with him, I would never, if he told me I couldn't see my kids, I'd tell him to get bent.
Yeah, I agree. It's a deal breaker no matter what the situation is.
Yeah. If you told me, no, you have to spend this time with me, I'd say, no, I'm sorry. I'd be nice about it, kind of.
Kind of.
And I told him, too, that if push came to shove and I, for whatever reason, was not good enough, you know, a good person to be around your children, I'd be the first person to pack up. And I hope that you would love your children enough and respect them and yourself enough to tell me to take a hike.
It's hard to imagine that scenario because I know that you are a good influence in their lives, despite sometimes how you feel you aren't.
I wasn't yesterday. Yesterday I was so, so crabby.
Hence the Exorcist.
Is that what
image?
It was?
It was an image of the girl from The Exorcist.
I feel like you showed this to a different person.
I showed it to you.
Did you go over to the neighbor's house and knock on their door and say, this is what my girlfriend looks like right now, you need to save me?
Please, help me.
Call the priest.
Yeah, not the police.
The priest. It was bad. And I feel like for at least, and I don't know if it's because of the situation that we've been dealing with this week or what it is, but I feel like during the day, you and I are so just like in a mode of like survival.
It is. It's almost like you're working off habit. Like there's a dozen things I need to get accomplished right now, and I'll just wander around and work on little projects.
And then all of a sudden, I'll like walk by you, and I'll see you, and we'll make eye contact, and we'll be like, oh, yeah, you live here, too.
I remember you.
Yeah.
From somewhere.
Yeah. How are you doing? And then, but then as soon as they're in bed, all of a sudden it's like, oh, my gosh. How have you been?
Yeah, it's like we've seen each other all day.
How was your day? How like, are you
constantly,
doing?
Constantly, like in the same room for hours.
But just not in this, just not there together.
There's so many distractions, you don't see it. And then at the end of the day, it's like all the distractions are gone, and like we're sitting on the couch together, and we're like,
this is it. I remember why I decided to be with you.
It's my favorite part of the day.
It is. I mean, it's not that I don't love my kids, and it's not that I don't love spending time with them. But I mean, really, it is survival of the fittest around here.
It is.
Today, though, can I gush for a moment?
Gush.
All over.
Gush away.
All over the floor. Just kidding. Gush. I'm going to do a little, if I had pom-poms, I'd do a little cheer.
A little cheerleading.
Do you recall, long ago, it's a song, anyways, do you recall when you walked up the stairs earlier today and you said to Kid Flash, are you done sweeping the kitchen already? And you look at me because, of course, I'm like the kitchen Nazi.
The judge?
Yeah. And
let's go to the judges quick.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, he is. And you, I mean, it was like speechless. Like, you looked at me like,
well, I was questioning it, and then it was like, I thought he made a gesture like you did it. Like, and I thought you went in and did the job for him because yesterday, he was complaining about, he'd been sweeping the floor for, I don't know, half hour at that point.
No, I came out at 10:12, and at 10:59, I think I picked up the broom.
It was like 45 minutes yeah. that he had been sweeping and sweeping, and there was nothing being done. And he literally he's actually sweeping. I don't know what he's doing, though. But he's just moving stuff around. He's not sweeping it into a pile. So she grabs the broom and has me set the stopwatch, and she sweeps both rooms completely to the level of sweeping that's expected of him in like 4 minutes. I don't remember
the exact... 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
So 4 minutes. So less than 5 minutes.
And he's panicking.
He thought he was in trouble.
Like, I'm in trouble. Give him back to me. I'll sweep. I promise.
I can do better.
Yeah, it's okay. And I'm just making him sit there and watch me. And I was surprised that he went from one room to the other. He was paying attention. Like, he's like, I'm going to watch you.
Yeah, he got up from the chair, went over to the bar stool, and sat down and watched you do the other room. And then it was all done, and he was sad. He was immediately sad when it was done because he saw how long it's taken him versus how long it took you, and it hit him, and he wanted to cry. Like, he sat there like he was gonna cry. He definitely did a good job today staying focused.
And not throwing temper tantrums, because that's been a big thing that we've had. And I almost think, is it the overstimulation of all of the kids being here? Is it the competition?
The competition, I think, is a big part.
I don't understand how we can make it different, though. Because the boys just keep competing and competing and competing. And even if we say it's not a competition.
It still is a competition, no matter what you say.
No matter what they're doing, either. Like, I can eat this dinner quicker than you, and I can fall asleep faster than you. It's like, who cares? Just do it.
I kind of teased him a little bit today with a reward, though.
Yeah?
I said, if you get your chores done, which I didn't mention, I didn't say chores. I said if you got the dishes and the floors done, mm-hmm. you could come outside with me, and if I'm still mowing the lawn by the time you're done with your jobs, at that point, I'll teach you about the lawnmower, and I'll let you do a little mowing. And he was, like, super excited about that, so he, like, I don't even know at what time frame it was. He comes running out the door, and he's like, I'm done. So I stopped, and I'm like, I need a drink anyway. So I went inside and got a drink, and it looked pretty complete. Like, I was pretty impressed. There were a few little things in the floor. I decided not to nitpick anything. I just let it go. And so I...
So you're the problem. You're the one that said it was done. And then I had to come in and say, did you not sweep the kitchen floor today? And he says, I swept it, and Dad checked it.
I did check it, and it was fine.
Oh, so we just, like, colored pencils on the floor and pieces of paper.
I didn't see papers. I did see a couple of colored pencils on the floor, and I didn't nitpick at them.
So you're choosing your battles, is what you're telling me.
Basically, yeah.
Okay. So as long as you knew that it wasn't done.
I knew that it wasn't perfect.
Unless you need to, do you need me to give you a lesson really quick on it?
Pause the recording here.
For four minutes and 30 seconds.
But he had done a great job. He showed me, he was proud to open up the dishwasher and show me how nicely he put all the dishes in the dishwasher, and they were all in order. They weren't just haphazardly thrown in there like they were before.
Haphazardly
thrown in there like they were before. And he had loaded the soap, and he said, I didn't start it because I know you don't want me to start it. We can start it together.
How cute is he?
And so I closed it, and we started the dishwasher, and he'd wiped the counters off for the most part. There was still a lot of stuff that needed to be put away, but it wasn't really his mess, so I just kind of let that be too. And I was like, all right, let's go back outside. I want to get this done. So we went outside, and I kind of showed him how to prime the gas thing, the little gas pump thing, and where you have to hold the safety handle back, and if you let go of it, it shuts off. I gave him a little safety thing about not touching underneath and not putting your foot near it, and how
I hope you're not going to leave him an attendant with that thing.
No, he's never going to touch it, even as an adult. He's going to have to live somewhere with a lawn service.
Maybe that's why the person next door has his wife.
She does all the grass cutting.
Because he just can't handle it. He looks like he's 12 years old.
He does look very young. So, but I let him, I kind of walked with him with one hand on the mower, and he wanted me to let go, and I'm like, nope, I just want to be really close, and we did a couple strips, and then he's like, let me finish it, and I'm like, no, why don't you go put away the sprinkler, like, wrap the hose up, make sure there's nothing I'm going to run over with the mower.
And so did you clean up the dog's poop?
I did not.
Because it looked like you did.
I cleaned up a couple pieces, but okay. I didn't go crazy with it.
All right. I was just curious if you were just, like, fertilizing the yard or what your plan was with that.
It'd be nice if it did. Just grind it up, make it disappear.
Yeah.
It doesn't, though.
I know. The ducks disappeared again today.
Yes. I went out, looked for them.
Is this what our podcast is coming to? Talking about the ducks?
They weren't in their home. Call it ducks something or other. We need a witty duck name for this segment. So I looked...
Oh, speaking of which, so... Princess asked what Sweet Summer Child's middle name was. And I said, Donald. And she goes, because he's funny? Like, like thinking Donald. We named him after Donald Duck.
Donald Duck.
I was just like...
It makes sense.
I stared at her for a minute because I didn't really get what she was saying. And then I was like, no, it's a family name. Like, so there's people named Donald?
It's a real name.
Trump, hello. Family name.
I have a cousin named Donald.
Do you?
Don.
Oh, yeah, Donnie.
His real name's Donald. Yeah. You'd never guess.
Never. Shout out to Donnie. Woohoo! Are you listening? If you're listening, we'll send you a complimentary t-shirt.
Which, speaking of, I have been toying with the idea of a t-shirt, but I'm still toying with the idea of adjusting the logo a little bit, so...
I thought you made leggings.
I made leggings, too.
And a duvet cover.
Yes, you can get a duvet. There's also Charlie DeLong merchandise you can get out there, too. Those are already made and available for purchase. Where if you want the official Charlie DeLong t-shirt, one has been sold.
You know what I think would be really funny? Is if you... Because you have your face on the back of your car and the follow me at charliedelong.com or Charlie DeLong on Twitter or whatever it is. I don't know.
Twitter, yes.
The technical, everything just baffles me. But if somebody like stopped you and would be like, I listen to your podcast. I know you.
Well, I'd like to get stickers made up too for those. Cars, once I get the logo.
I don't know. We'll see how this week's episode goes, and then we'll see if people are like actually listening for real.
I know we made that comment earlier. If we don't get any feedback or comments, or
so we're gonna have to close up shop.
Yeah, I guess we're done. Nobody's really actually listening to it. So I mean, what's the point?
I mean, we're like what, an hour and a half in almost.
Almost.
If anybody is listening so far, it's probably because they have a heck of a long drive to work.
I'm wondering, too, if people did listen to the entire episode last time, if they listened after the closing music.
To the blooper reel?
There was a blooper reel at the end of the
episode. We won't have a blooper reel for this episode.
There could be, because I did save a couple of recordings prior to us actually starting recording. There was a quote.
Oh, you saved those?
There was a quote you said that I really liked.
Did you save those?
I did save those.
I didn't know you did. I thought that you just clicked out of them.
I clicked out of a couple of them, but...
You are more than welcome to use that thing as a blooper reel if we get one comment on our website.
So you're saying I can't put it on this episode. I'd have to save it.
Yep.
Put it on
next
episode.
Or we could release a midweek clip.
Midweek clip.
Yep. So if we get one comment... We
episode 2.5?
2.1.
1.
Yeah. I think we might try YouTube too.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, and maybe not even necessarily the whole episode, but clips. Some of the funny clips, I think, should go on YouTube.
Have we said anything funny this time?
I don't know. I was told there were a couple funny clips from episode one.
This, I feel... Oh, I meant, have we said anything funny in episode two? I feel like this episode is kind of serious. It was a lot of venting.
It was.
I feel a lot better, though.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah.
I don't feel like we figured anything out.
No, but it's good to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's other people in the world that'll be like...
Maybe someone will comment with the answer. And then we'll be like, oh, we get it. We figured out the whole thing, like the meaning of life.
Maybe. I doubt that. But maybe they'll comment with something witty.
Witty, useful, funny.
We could shout out to them on the show.
We could. Or if you want to call the voicemail number, leave us a message. We could actually take that audio and throw it right into the show.
I was just going to say that we could play it.
Through the magic of...
That'd be fun.
Computers.
So you have a job interview tomorrow?
I have a job interview tomorrow. Doing a lot of what I used to do at my previous company.
How am I gonna live my life?
Without me here.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we will send the kids to boarding school.
It's possible. It's fine. We already talked to them about it.
Yes. We... Dan talked to them about the boarding school. I think it was called Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
And they had to pick some sort of wizard-like animal and get their wands. And
yes. And then they sobbed.
They all thought that it was legitimate. They all thought
they
that
had never seen...
They had never seen the movie Harry Potter before.
It was like the saddest thing. I felt like I was failing.
And Princess has been reading Harry Potter for, like, 3 months now, but she keeps, like, rereading chapter one. Yeah. She reads it, puts it down, forgets. Let me start it over again. She's done it 3-4 times.
Didn't know. Yeah. So it was sad. It was very sad. Now they've watched
the first two movies.
Yeah. So maybe now she'll be a little bit more interested in the books.
Yeah.
She is a good reader. Not a great speller, but the more that she reads, hopefully the better she'll be at spelling.
Yes.
I just think her mind goes a million miles a minute. I wonder where she gets that from.
I don't know.
You.
Oh, that's right.
Because Sometimes I look at you and I wonder if you're even on the same planet.
If I could find some sort of medium area between, like, a billion things in my head and nothing. Because I can take the million things going on in my head at the end of the night and just turn it off and go right to sleep.
Yeah, it's sickening.
It is.
There'll be times where I will say, please don't fall asleep until after I fall asleep. And he's like, okay.
Instantly. It's instantly sick. Relax. I can relax my body.
I can't do that.
I can just turn my brain off and go to sleep.
I literally, like, will start nodding off and then I'll be awake, like, looking around, making sure that there's no intruders.
That is my superpower.
Falling asleep.
Falling asleep.
My quickly. Superpower is napping. I'm really good at napping when you're up. I have a aversion to sleeping in the dark. I'm, like, nocturnal. Like a cat.
Why don't we just turn a bunch of lights on?
Yeah, I know, because it's still light outside.
What if I put spotlights outside the windows?
What if you just buy me an ADT or something?
Chloroform?
ADT. I don't feel like you would get a good night's sleep if you were put into a chloroform-induced...
Probably not.
But then, and I don't think that you'd stay chloroformed...
For very long.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never chloroformed anyone. I just can't like, scientifically answer that for you.
We could do a quick
trial?
Experiment.
Do you want to try it?
Yeah, pause the podcast really quick.
Pause Let's it. Just try it.
Grab the chloroform.
Grab the chloroform out where of the medicine cabinet.
Cops are going to be knocking at my door. Where do you even buy chloroform?
I have no idea.
I bet one of our listeners would know.
Maybe someone could comment.
Where do you buy your chloroform?
Comment on thejokerandthequeen.com. Right on the episode 2.
How come it's thejokerandthequeen.com and it's not the Queen and the Joker?
Because when I designed the initial logo with the scrolly letters, it looked nicer with Joker on the top because the way the letters overlapped.
Do you feel like you're better than everybody else?
I don't feel like I'm better. In fact, at the opposite of that, I feel like people are better than me.
Obviously.
In general.
Just like down the guy next door that doesn't mow his own lawn.
Like, I'm not someone who wears those socks with the gold tip.
I can't believe you just said that. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, boy. And now I really will know if he's listening.
Yes, you will.
I feel like you have wore the gold tip socks. In fact, you may wear them tomorrow to your job interview.
Maybe.
Maybe. But maybe that's because you want to feel like you're better than everybody else.
No.
No?
Just because that's what's clean and what's on top in the drawer. Or, no, wait, I take that back. Because that's what you pick out for me to wear tomorrow.
You're correct. I was thinking that you could wear a purple shirt tomorrow with a purple tie. How do you feel about that?
I feel good about that.
Is it because you don't have to do any of the guesswork?
No.
Do you want to wear this purple necklace that I'm wearing?
I don't want to wear the purple necklace.
Why not?
I could, just for conversation's sake.
Do you want to wear the pink shirt that I'm wearing?
I do like the pink shirt you're wearing, but no, I don't want to wear it.
Should we post a picture of the pink shirt on?
I don't... On me?
We can do that. No. If I get 5 comments, okay, from different people on the website, okay, I will post a picture of the Joker wearing the Queen's... Pink.
Super sexy pink nightie?
Nightie.
Question mark?
That I'm wearing right now. I will post it on the website.
I haven't agreed to this.
I don't think I'm the queen. I overrule you. You are bright red right now. 5 comments. That's what we need from 5 different people. I don't even care if you go on and you make up names. Bob, Jim, Dick, Harry.
I can find out if they're made-up names, and I will delete those comments.
What if they're really good comments? What if each of them tell me something scientific about chloroform?
What if each of them comes from the same IP address? I know they're not.
What if they live people. In a frat house, and they just all happen to listen at the same time while they were doing their frat stuff?
Then they need to make comments from other people's houses, and not the same other people's houses.
I don't think that you're really friends. In a position for you to be able to
the
dictate.
Historically... In this castle scenario, the Joker was the one who dealt with the website and the comments and the IP addresses. So it is my business.
I got nothing to say to that.
I'm just rewriting history.
Obviously.
That's how it worked.
Don't tell the kids. Let's change their books.
Robin Hood was a notorious internet hacker.
I knew that.
Hashtag true story.
Hashtag don't believe everything you hear on the podcast.
True story.
Hashtag. Oh, for the love of Pete. So, speaking of Pete, hey Pete.
Shout out to Pete.
Pete! I need to apologize to you, Pete, for making you feel like you did something wrong.
That you were at fault when, in fact...
It was Charlie.
It was me.
And the fact that he is a really, really bad technical consultant.
The fact that we live in a more rural area that doesn't have the super fancy internet like a lot of places have.
You know, he's moving out kind of to Podunk, Minnesota, too. So maybe then he's going to realize that they don't have fancy internet out there either.
I know. I wonder what's going to happen once he gets to a place where his internet's not as fancy as it is now.
I don't know. Maybe he won't be as fancy as he thinks he is. Now we'll know if he's listening.
This is very vague. Very vague, not
He doesn't want everybody to know about his special...
His superpower.
Yeah, we're going to just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I think we need to go to bed. What do you think?
I think we need to go to bed. But that was our week.
Yeah. What we got on tap for this week? What's to come?
Lots of things. My job interview.
Yep, job interview on Monday.
Maybe I'll start work on Tuesday.
Oh my God.
You'll have some crazy adventures. Six kids in the house on Tuesday with just you here.
Uh-huh. I feel, and yeah, six kids, one dog, three cats, four dogs. I feel like if that happens, I will need 5 bottles of wine sent to my address that I won't drink because I won't have time to do so.
You'll have one glass at the end of the night and then go to sleep.
I can't even do that because I have to listen to the baby monitor all night. 2 big monitors sometimes. Yeah.
Chaos.
It's chaos. So what else we got going on? That's about it, I think. Great. There's really nothing else going on this week. Yeah. Except for the normal grind. It's the first of the month. Shout out to all our property manager folk. May the odds be ever in your favor. Clean quicks.
Maybe we'll get to do something fun, like some...
Beach action.
Biking, boating, some Pokemon Go.
The 3 B's. Biking, boating, bitching. There's a very, very, very high likelihood that the 3rd one is going to be in the forecast. So prepare yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I'll have to do some hiding out here in this room.
That's fine. You will melt in here because it's so darn hot because you haven't brought the air conditioner in. What was the other thing that I was going to call you out on in the podcast?
And I have the doors closed in here to keep the animals out.
It's hot in here right now.
It is hot in here right now.
I'm sweating bullets. And I'm wearing nothing. Except for this pink 90 that will be featured on the website once we get 5 comments from 5 different people. So, if you made it this far, we thank you very much. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Remember to look us up. The best place to start is on our website, thejokerandthequeen.com.
Request us to be for your friend on Facebook.
Yes, we have our own Facebook page. We have a Twitter page. All of that's linked from the website.
Instagram.
I created an Instagram page because I like Instagram.
I don't know how to use it.
It's a good time.
Or you can call and leave us a message on our answering machine.
The voicemail is great because then we can actually have your voice featured on the show if you want to.
Yes. Points to creativity. We love...
How many voicemails do we need to...
What will we do if we get a voicemail?
A voicemail? We'll play it on the show.
Hey!
All right.
We're signing off. It's Monday, officially. 2 minutes into Monday.
Excellent. Good morning.
Good morning. Good night. Have a great week.
Goodbye.